Welcome to Burnside at Home. It's Sunday, the 26th of September, and thank you for joining with us once again, whether you're on the website or the telephone line or the podcast or however you happen to be accessing this today. Do remember that we are open in the church building on Sundays at 11 o'clock, Sunday mornings only, and then also our prayer meeting has started back on a Wednesday morning at 9:30 a.m. in the church building. And again, you're very welcome to come and join with us for those opportunities. And it's important that we do start to get together again, that we do meet with one another, that we do spend time with each other. Of course, we want to do that as safely as possible. But I have to say, things are being looked after very well at church and everyone's being kept as safe as possible. And we're following a little series at the moment, going back into the book of Genesis and finding Jesus there. We've already looked at creation and the fall and the flood. And this week we're coming to Genesis chapter 11 and the Tower of Babel. And we're going to look at that story and find out where Jesus is in the midst of that. So today we're going to meet a people who rejected God's presence and replaced it with their own achievements, the people of Babel. The psalmist writes that being in God's presence for even one day is better than spending a lifetime anywhere else. And so in Psalm 84 we read, "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing doth he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." So let's begin our time together by turning to God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you this day that we are able to worship you. Even though we may be in many different locations, you unite us together through your Holy Spirit, and we praise you and honour you for that. Today, Lord, as we think about the Tower of Babel, we are reminded of our own sin and our own need for forgiveness. And therefore, Lord, we come to you now confessing our sin and asking that you would show us mercy rather than wrath. We know, Lord, that we deserve your judgment. And yet, Lord, we come asking for grace, asking, Lord, that you would deal with our sin and allow us back into that right relationship with you again. So, Lord, be with us today as we worship. Be with each person who is listening at this time, that you would be a blessing to them through your word, that you would encourage those who are discouraged, that you would help those who are weak, that you would lift up those who are struggling, and may they know your presence and your help and your guidance in all that they do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. At this point on Sunday, we'd be singing together. We'd be singing, "How Lovely Is Your Dwelling Place," the hymn version of that psalm that we've just read together, reminding us that we come into God's presence to worship him and to praise him. The people of Babel tried to build a tower so that they would make a presence for themselves and that they would make themselves great. But we come to God and we trust him and we worship him alone. And then after we sing that hymn together, we're going to pray together again, bringing the needs of others before the Lord. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer, we bring the needs of others, and we begin our prayer by giving you thanks, Lord, for the offering. And we thank you, Lord, that although many are not able to come to church at this time, they still give to your work, and we pray that that would be a blessing. We thank you, Lord, for all those who have given today, and we ask, Lord, that you would continue with them and help them in all that they do. Remember, Lord, at this time, education, and we pray for students and school pupils and teaching staff and all staff, Lord, as they go back again and as they are interacting again. We pray, Lord, that you would keep them safe and that your hand of protection would be upon them. And we pray, Lord, for the work of Scripture Union and Christian Union and all that takes place there. Lord God Almighty, we thank you that you are a mighty God at work throughout this world. And therefore, Lord, we bring our brothers and sisters before you today who are struggling because of their faith, who are being persecuted because they love you. And we ask, Lord, that in those countries where it is so dangerous to follow you, that you would be near to them and your protecting hand would be upon them, that miraculously, Lord, you would keep them safe. We continue, Lord, to pray for Afghanistan and those who seek to worship you there and are being persecuted by the Taliban. We continue to pray for Haiti in the aftermath of the earthquake there. And Lord, we pray that you would protect the people there and be near to them and help the aid to get there. And Lord, we remember all those who are known to us who are ill today, hospital and care home at home, wherever they happen to be, Lord, we pray that you would come alongside through your Holy Spirit, that you would dwell with them and help them day by day in all that they do. So, Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read from God's Word. We're going to read Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. And this is the story of the Tower of Babel. Now, the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Amen. And we pray that God will bless to us once again the reading of his holy word today. There seems to be so much conflicting messages in the world today. Wear a mask. Don't wear a mask. Take the vaccine. Don't take the vaccine. Remain in Europe. Leave Europe. So many things, and we could go on and on with so many more. Wonder, have you ever wondered why there is so much contradictory advice in the world? So many different viewpoints, so little agreement. Well, as we delve into the Old Testament again, today we perhaps gain a little insight as to why we are living in a land of confusion. We come to the Tower of Babel. And again, another of those Old Testament stories that we remember from childhood. And it's one of those stories that we've heard many times before. It's maybe not one that we go back to that often now in adulthood. And yet there's so much in this story to help us and to teach us. This great tower was being built by a people who want to make a name for themselves. And we have this devastating outcome. God bringing judgment on the people by confusing their language and scattering them across the world. So as we look at this familiar story, let's see where we can find Jesus. Because this is the whole reason for revisiting these stories. And I hope and pray that, like me, you're beginning to get new insights into who Jesus is, into what Jesus does. The wonderful thing about the Bible is that instead of being a textbook of theology, it is a book of stories, and those stories help us understand the theology. So today, as I tell you the theology, as it were, that Jesus sends people who do not want to go. Jesus unites people who are scattered. Jesus is exalted with the highest name. Jesus is building a city for us to inhabit. Instead of having to remember all that, we can look at the story of Babel and we can find Jesus in that story. And if we can remember the story of Babel, then we'll also remember what Jesus is doing and who Jesus is. So let's find Jesus together in this story. And the first thing we see about Jesus from this passage is Jesus sends people who do not want to go. What's the main problem at Babel? Well, we might assume that the biggest problem is that the people were trying to be greater than God. They thought if they had some achievements, people would treat them with more respect than God. So in verse 4 of chapter 11, we read, "Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth.'" But you know, the problem goes much deeper than that. Here's a people who don't want to be scattered across the earth. And in not wanting to be scattered, that is a direct disobedience of the command that God has issued to them. A command that he's issued at least twice in the opening chapters of Genesis. For example, God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and fill the land. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it." So God didn't just tell them, okay, be fruitful, have lots of descendants and get a great number of people here in this one area. No, he told them to go and fill the whole earth. Same command is given to Noah after the flood. God blessed Noah and his son, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth." But here in Babel, the people decided that they wanted to do something else. They didn't want to obey this command to fill the earth. They wanted to stay together. Instead of spreading the word of God abroad, instead of going out into the unknown, they wanted to stay with what was familiar. They wanted to remain where they were. And I suppose we have a tendency to do the same. We like what is familiar. We like what we know. We don't naturally venture into unknown territory. But think of the command that Jesus left with his disciples. We often refer to it as the Great Commission, and it was the point where Jesus was about to ascend into heaven. He'd already been resurrected, and as he's leaving the disciples, he gives them a command. He sets them on a great commission, as it were. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." As Jesus was leaving his disciples, he is commanding us to do the same as he has already commanded Adam and Eve, and he's commanded Noah and the people of Babel. And when we build our own structures and they become more important to us than the good news of the gospel, then we are right back in Babel and doing what the residents there were doing. We're building towers to make ourselves look good when we should be building lives that make Jesus look good. Imagine what this world would be like if every follower of Jesus, if we built lives that pointed to Jesus instead of lives that point to ourselves. You see, Jesus sends people who do not want to go. Secondly, we see that Jesus unites people who are confused. The problem with the people in Babel was that they were easily able to work together, which we might assume is a good thing, and this would be a good thing if they'd put their unity to a good cause, working for God. But instead, they were working for themselves. And to stop them doing this, God decided that he was going to confuse their language. So verses 6 and 7, the Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." This would stop them making such grand, selfish plans. The people were scattered and confused. Jesus, however, brings people together and he removes that confusion. At the start of the book of Acts, we find the risen Jesus promising a wonderful gift to his disciples, promising the Holy Spirit. "But you will receive power," Jesus says, "when the Holy Spirit comes in you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And do you notice that same idea of going into the whole world here? They are to start in Jerusalem. They're to move outwards from Jerusalem into the rest of Judea. Then they are to keep going into Samaria. And then once they reach Samaria, they are to go into the rest of the world. Isn't it just remarkable? Isn't it incredible how the whole of Scripture follows these same themes and picks up on these same themes? And what's happening is God is explaining to them, to us, these themes over and over again, so that we eventually catch on to what God is doing. And Jesus' point on the road to Emmaus to those two disciples was, look, it shouldn't come as any great surprise to you that Jesus, the Messiah, had to suffer and die. Because if you go back into the Old Testament and read right through, you're going to find that that's what the Messiah has to do. That's what has been said all along. So here Jesus promises his Holy Spirit. And Jesus himself ascends into heaven. And then 10 days later, the Holy Spirit arrives. And what happens whenever the Holy Spirit arrives? Well, we find that in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. That's the disciples. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. There were Jews in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, and they had travelled from all the surrounding nations. And here's the remarkable thing. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. We cannot help but think of the Tower in Babel. Jesus here is sending his Holy Spirit and he is reversing what happened at Babel. And then we also look forward to the day of his return when the confusion will be removed completely. In Acts, it's removed for this moment as the people are there and the Holy Spirit comes. But there is a day coming when there will be no more confusion. What a Saviour we have in Jesus Christ. The next thing that we discover is that Jesus is exalted with the highest name. The people built the city of Babel and they built the tower in an attempt to make a name for themselves. That's what we read in verse 4, so that we may make a name for ourselves. And I suppose in a way they did make a name for themselves, but not in the way that they'd intended. We're still talking about them today, but we're not talking about their greatness, just their foolishness. But Jesus is to have the name that is exalted above all others. Jesus is to have the name that is greater than any name that we can make for ourselves. And we are to use our lives to magnify his name rather than to make a name for ourselves. Remember Paul's writing to the Philippians. This is what he has to say. He says, "Therefore God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So Jesus is to have the greatest name. And therefore, it's pointless us trying to make name for ourselves. We're to simply come to Jesus and trust in him and worship him and magnify his name. But then there's a little twist that happens whenever Jesus is writing to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. He's writing to Pergamum and he says, "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it." This is the name that we need. Not one that we try to make for ourselves, but one that Jesus gives us. He, after all, has the name that is above every name, but he promises us a name that is only known to him. He calls us by that name and we recognize his voice and we follow him. There's so much in that verse that we'll maybe take a little bit of time in the blog this week to explore it. And then finally for today, we see that Jesus is building a holy city for us to inhabit. In their attempt not to be scattered, the people built the city of Babel and then started to construct the tower in it. They thought if they had a city built, then that would keep them together and they wouldn't have to go into the rest of the world. Look at verse 4 of chapter 11 in Genesis. "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the earth." This was their attempt at being important. But what we need to realize is that, like most things that we attempt ourselves, they are really only a pale imitation of what Jesus is able to do. In Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter of faith where some of the great heroes of faith in the Old Testament are listed, we come across Abraham. And we learn of Abraham, he lived in tents. Now, what's significant about that? Well, he wasn't living in a city, he was living in a tent. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Abraham is following God's command. He's not settling in the city, but he is waiting for God to issue the command so that he is ready to obey. Why would we attempt to make for ourselves what God has already promised? We look forward to that day whenever Jesus returns, when our earthly bodies will be destroyed and will be resurrected to live in the new heaven and the new earth. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." The Tower of Babel on so many levels is disobedience to God. It's asserting that humans know better than God and do not need to obey him. It's asserting that humans can do better than God and can create things that are superior to him. But we are reminded how great God is. They are building a tower to reach up to God, and God has to come down to see what they're doing. Oh, the irony of that little detail. But then we do the same, don't we? In rebellion, we build our own cities, our own towers, and our own names, and to sort out the problem, God comes down. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, comes and makes his dwelling with us, not in a city, but a tiny village. He pitches his tent and he dwells among us. He brings salvation and reveals himself as our Redeemer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. We thank you that Jesus brings so much, coming to this earth so that we might be forgiven and so that we might no longer live in confusion but live in you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to live in you each day. Amen. The final hymn on Sunday is "At the Name of Jesus, Every Knee Shall Bow and Every Tongue Confess Him King of Glory Now." This is the Father's pleasure that we will call him Lord, who from the beginning was the mighty Word, reminding us that we have a Saviour that we worship this day, and we trust in him and we find hope in him. And let's just finish in prayer together again. And now we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you so much for listening to our service today. Do remember you can join us in person on Sunday at 11. And we pray now for God's blessing to be upon you the rest of this day. Amen.